We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
God is not limited to just English. Thank you, sir. God is not limited to just English. And you know, when I hear the Zulus worship God with their voices and they astound God as they sing Magawongwe, it's incredible, and it just shows you just the diversity in God when He just allows us to worship in different languages. So over the next month or so, we want to, when you look at our church, we're an intercultural church. We have lots of different ethnic groups. So what we really want to do is to sing songs in worship, not just in English, just to, you know, as representative as we've got in this house today, we want to sing songs in Spanish, sing songs in Swahili, sing songs in, you know, in Chinese, if anyone knows Chinese, you know. But we just want to worship God in all these different languages, just to be able to say, you know what, God, people are welcome here, regardless of which ethnic group that they come from. We welcome everyone into the house, regardless of where they come from. But also, in that God is not limited to just being worshipped in English. So Lord, we bless you. Lord, we thank you even right now, oh God, that Lord, we Lord, we have the opportunity, God, Father, to praise you, God, Father, in your house. Lord, we thank you for opportunities such as these, Almighty God, Father, to be able to gather together and to worship you, Lord Jesus. And Father, how I pray that even as I am about to share the word, God, Father, may you touch my tongue of clay, Almighty God, and Father, may you refine me, God, Father, and just allow me to be a mouthpiece unto your people for how precious they are, O God, that Father, that you are mindful of them. And Lord, I pray that, God, may I handle your word, Lord, with reverence and, God, in correctfulness, Lord, in your holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning, SEC. Good morning, SEC.
Good morning.
I thought Fifi said we've all recovered from the conference, isn't it? Good morning, SEC. It's lovely to see everyone this morning. If you're here for the first time today, a warm welcome to you. You have come into the house of the Lord, and we thank you for coming and listening to the voice of God to instruct you to come here and being part and parcel of this service today. Pastor and Mama Moyo are not here this morning along with the family. They're on a break, a well-deserved break. I know you can all agree with me, but they'll be back with you, well, with us next week when they've come back from holiday. So I've got the privilege, shall I call it, of preaching after a conference like the one like the one that we've just had. I think I drew the short straw, I think is what they call it. I had an incredible time over the conference. You know, we were definitely thrashed by the word of God time and time again, all the way through from Thursday, all the way through to Sunday. You know, the word just kept coming again and again and again and again. And it wasn't just even in the preaching, it was within the seminars as well. All the different seminars that we had, we just kept going through it. You know, God really dealing with us all on an individual level, although we are within a corporate gathering such as this. And really, to put it simply, I can't just simply come here and then move on from the conference that we just had. I think a lot of what I'll be preaching about today is almost reminiscent of what we experienced during the conference, because we can't just move on, because it was just so life transforming. And I'm sure everybody who was here during the conference will also attest to that it was such an incredible time. And in essence, how I have found myself being convicted in my spirit is around such times as these, as like the annual conference that we had, the faith conference that we had, that this wasn't my first one. There's probably people in here who have had even more annual faith conferences than I have had. It may have been your 10th one, your 11th one, your 12th one, so on and so forth. And within that, sometimes because of what it may feel as though a normalcy of just coming together and departing, coming together for a weekend, and then a year later we do it again, it can become a bit What does lethargic mean? I think it's the word. Yeah, that's the one. You may feel a bit lethargic that, you know, it's like, oh, you know, we're doing this again, or we've done this before, or, you know, it's constantly this whole thing of, you know, it's time and time again, it's come, it's happened before. The first time it have been exciting, but by about the fifth or sixth time, you're thinking to yourself, actually, we've done this enough times, and I understand what happens, and we know the way we roll through it, so to speak. And I was like, God, is that the state that I'm in now, whereby I come to a conference and I'm just expecting nothing different, I'm not expecting any level of transformation or anything of the sort? And that's particularly what I want to speak to us about today. So the conference for me, I'll probably say this time round, it was incredibly sobering. Very sobering in that when I remember, I think it was Friday night when in the normal fashion of how conferences go in an evangelical setting like what we've got, we have our normal expectations, and then Bishop came and said, no one is falling here today, you know. Throughout this conference, no one is falling, right? And I was like, oh, okay. You know, this is definitely a different kind of faith conference that we're having this time. And what it was, it felt like a masterclass through it, all the way from Thursday. I was sitting in Thursday with the youth. And, you know, Pastor David was sharing about being salt and light. And, you know, the bishops, as they were preaching, you know, each time it just felt like, you know, wow, what a fantastic download. The seminars that we had, again, just absolutely incredible. Just continuously felt like a sobering time of just being reminded of who God is without the emotionality or the infatuation that comes with just here's the word of God. You must learn the word of God, and, you know, let's come out of it being better, right? And I guess within that, some of the points that Bishop was touching on, he talked about, how are you walking? Where are you standing? And with whom are you sitting? And he was preaching from Psalms chapter 1. Again, if you were not part and parcel of the conference, if you haven't told yet, I'm trying to sell it to you, because the media team recorded everything, so you can still actually partake of that. The good thing is you can still recite it on what's happening. But yes, so Bishop walked through, you know, how are you walking, where are you standing, and with whom are you sitting? When you look at each one of those states that Bishop was walking through, it's all got to do with reflecting and reviewing where you are in life and what is going on. It was very reflective. That's what I'm saying. It was very sobering, because it's, you know, we couldn't just simply move on. It was a case of actually you have to sit and listen and think through, wow, where am I? Where am I walking? Where am I standing? Whom am I sitting with? It wasn't just, you know, being propagated to keep going forward, but really to think deep as to say, where am I in all that I'm doing? And then it would make us say this. And then it would make us say, and my life will never be the same again. And he said, well, you didn't recognize it, because it's not in his voice. He goes like, and my life will never be the same. You know, yeah, it's got a deeper voice. But, you know, it's within that statement that he made us continuously say, you know, we would stand up and say, yes, my life will never be the same again. But then what I have to ask is that, okay, since the conference, how many of us have actually sat down and thought to ourselves, where is the difference that my life is then going to take, since I'm the one who was proclaiming to say that my life has changed, that my life is completely different? And this is where I'm at. This is where I'm stuck. This is where the conviction is. Because this wasn't the first conference where I felt that way, where there's been a good word. There's been good words again and again, even just this year alone, since January to now. Lots of good words. But I feel the Lord convicting me to say, okay, where is the change, the tangible change, where you can say, okay, I attended this conference, and then therefore this is what changed in my life. This is where I have received correction, and this is where I'm now stepping in the newness to which God has done in my mind through the renewing. Amen. It's probably a good time to open the Bible. I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 3, from verses 7 through to 19. So, what I've seen, that there's a modern proverb that I've seen, so to speak, in our day to day, and what it talks about is how, although you can have two people in the exact same circumstance, in the exact same school or learning place or whatever it is, but in the end up with two completely different results. You've even told, I'm giving you guys time to get to Hebrews 3. Right. So basically, how this modern proverb goes is, it goes, there was a man, or should I say there were twin boys, who were raised by the same father, right? And the father was a drunkard. One child, when one of the twins grew up, they said to myself, oh, you know what, I'm a drunkard because my father's a drunkard. But the other one said, well, I'm not a drunkard because my father's a drunkard, right? What's the modern proverb trying to say? The idea is, although we were all sitting here together in the same conference, we can make excuses to ourselves and say, oh, this is why I did not attain this place of destiny that God is calling me to, because of whatever excuse you can come up with. Or you can say, you know what, because of what I've heard and because of what I've seen and because of what I've been told, there has to be a difference and I have to make a change which is in alignment with that. You know, if it may not just be that. If you think of anybody who's in school, right? Anybody who's in school, you know that you're all in the same class, but not all the grades at the end are all the same, isn't it? So that's when I realized, actually, it's not necessarily about what is happening at the time to us. It's something to do with the person in and of themselves as to why the result changes, even though they were under the same presence of God, under the same teaching of the word, under the same place of teaching that we were in here to say, but then the outcome is dependent on us, on how we receive that word, how we then move forward from hearing what we've heard. Okay, so I'm just going to read from Hebrews 3, from verse 7, if I can have it in the NIV, if that's okay, please. I'll start reading. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me. Though for 40 years they saw what I did, that is why I was angry with that generation. I said their hearts are always going astray. They have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. And just as it's been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness, and to whom did God swear that they would never enter rest, if not for those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. May God bless the reading of the word. The book of Hebrews is one of my favorite books in the Bible. It really shows Christ in this really incredible light. So just to give a very quick overview, there's between chapters 1 and through to 10, there's various different contrasts that the Bible tells us about Christ in compared to different aspects of the Word of God. So at first, between chapters 1 and 2, the Hebrews writer compares Christ to the angels. And then afterwards, in the passage that I was just reading before here, they start to compare Moses to Christ. And in each time, they're saying, you know what? Christ is better than the angels. He's greater than these ones that are the angels. Christ is better than he who is Moses. He's even greater than Moses. And then it goes on to compare the priests and Melchizedek to Christ and say, you know what? Christ is even greater than this high priest who is called Melchizedek. And then he goes on to compare Christ to the sacrifices that we're saying, to say, you know what? Jesus is even greater than even these other sacrifices. So all the time, the Hebrews writer is contrasting the Old Testament view of God to actually say, you know what, all that you could see before, it's all fulfilled, and then actually is blown up and actually say, you know what, this is even something greater we want to show you, and it is this person who is the Christ. So then these Hebrews writers is basically trying to show us that, you know what, this is who Christ is. And with all of that, if you revered Moses, if you revered the angels, if you revered whoever it is, well, you're actually supposed to revere Christ even more for it, right? Anyway, so that's just the backdrop of it. So within this conference, okay, why is that related? Within this conference, right, we were in a place whereby Christ was taught to us. Christ was revealed to us, and he was really shown in incredible light. I mean, just even in Psalms 1, where you're looking at the law of God, you know, it's incredible how much you can just expand and see just Christ through it all, right? And I guess from this particular passage, the first thing from verse 7 of chapter 3 says, we should not harden our hearts. We should not harden our hearts. So my first point is this. Let's not harden our hearts. To give a bit of context, again, to what I was reading here, when we say, do not harden your hearts in verse 8, as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness where your ancestors were tested. Joseph was somebody who was used by God. He was one of Jacob's sons. And at the time, I love the session that Mr. Mayala and Mr. Perry did about the excellence in the workplace. And again, we're looking at this person who is Joseph, right? And Joseph was just such an excellent being. He was, in everything that he did, he just excelled because he just trusted in God, and he would just continuously stay in obedience to who God is. Now, anyway, so Joseph basically led the whole of Egypt and the region to ensure that the poverty and famine did not consume the entire nation by listening to what God was saying through a dream. And in essence, he became such a profound person that at the time, Pharaoh invited his whole family to say, okay, you can come live under my kingdom, and you can be protected and kept safe. After that, there came a time whereby the king at the time did not know who this Joseph was or the exploits that he did. So what then happened was, even though Israel, so this is, you know, centuries later, even though the Israelites were expanding within this time, they were expanding and they were all kind of kept under Pharaoh's kingdom, this king wasn't really looking to let them continue expanding the way that they were doing. As a matter of fact, when Moses came to Pharaoh and said, we want to go and worship our God in the place where we ought to worship him, they wouldn't keep him. So do you know what God did? God, with his mighty righteous hand, then allowed for different things to happen, 10 different plagues we call them, to be able to get them out of that place. And the Israelites were watching this. They were observing it. They were seeing all this that God was doing. After that, he parted the Red Sea for them to be able to cross across. And you know what they were doing? They were watching, they were seeing. When they were in the desert place, they were also being led through by Moses at the time, and this person. And then all of a sudden, they were still watching. As a matter of fact, they were getting manna from heaven to feed them on a daily basis. For meat, they would get quail. They would get it, you know. They would continue walking through the desert, but in no day did their clothes start to shed. Amazing, incredible things. But now watch this. Why am I saying all this? In all of that, what this Hebrew writer is then, or the Hebrews writer, shall I say, is referring to is that specific time in Scripture and saying these people's hearts were hardened. Even though they could see all that God was doing and they were in the very presence of God. Listen, okay. It was so much so that literally at night, the Lord would lead them in a pillar of fire and with a cloud by day. They could literally see the physical manifestation of God, and yet their hearts were hardened. You know, sometimes we say to ourselves, you know what, if I could see God, then I would follow him. Even these are evidence, it's not true. It's not true. Even if you could see him, there would still be a heart. I can't imagine the Israelites, right, that literally as they set up the tabernacle and all that they were doing, they would see the very presence of God coming down on the place, and yet their hearts would still be hardened. It's nothing to do with what we are seeing. or anything. It's something to do with our innermost being and who we really are and how we look to Christ as to whether or not our hearts will be hardened. So within all this, I then said to myself, you know what, God, what are we to do then? What are we to do if even the Israelites can be hardened, even though they could see your physical manifestation on earth? Even if they could see, then what chance do we have? And you know, I believe that the Lord is saying to us, you know what, we only need to lean on His Word. We lean on His Word and actually remind ourselves this to say, who does God say He is? Who does God say He is to each one of us individually? So I'm reading from Psalms 103. Pardon me, Bishop showed me that we can read scripture through the service, so I'll be reading scripture through the service. Psalms 103, it starts like this. It's one of David's psalms, and we don't know exactly in what place that David was in when he wrote this psalm, but then this is what he says. He says, praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Another version will say, bless the Lord, O my soul. In verse 2, it says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. To me, the fact that David is saying to himself, my soul, bless the Lord, I think I can imagine, this is now me adding my own source, to say he probably found that within himself there was something that was misaligned for him to say, my soul, bless the Lord. You know, I think we all need some of that sometime, that, you know, when we get a bit lethargic or whatever it may be, that, you know, we say to ourselves, actually, my soul, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, my soul, bless the Lord, my soul, forget not His benefit. And it says, this is what it does next, right? So not only do we command our souls, but then also we say to ourselves, what has God done? Watch what it says, who forgives all your sins and heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord's works is righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He abhor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are from above the earth, so great is the love of those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of the mortals is like grass. They flourish like flower in the field. The winds blow over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who did His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works, everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. See, and you know what? I wish and I hope that that is also the testament in our hearts, that, you know, when we get to that place whereby we're like, you know what? It's another meeting. God has just shared another word with us. Or whatever it may be, that, you know what, even though we may not see the physical manifestation of God, the fact that we're able to sit in His presence and hear what He's saying, that we will say to ourselves, oh gosh, my soul, would you bless the Lord? Look how good He is. Look at all that He has done. My heart cannot be hard, because this is the issue is. The issue is, when our hearts are hardened, we are no longer able to see God the way that He really is. When our hearts are hardened, we can't receive exactly what God is telling us who He is or what He wants of us individually. And with that being said, then ask yourself, okay, so what are we to do? Psalm 19 verse, and I'll read this one really quickly. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. And the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Let's continue to refresh ourselves with the Word of God. The Word of God will continue to wash over us. And here's my second point. Let's not turn away from the living God. And yes, verse 12 of Hebrews 3. It says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Now, amongst you, I wonder, since the conference, how many times have you maybe engaged in conversation with someone, say, what did you hear? What did you hear at the conference? What encouraged you? You know, I find that so incredible. You know, each time different people are sharing about different bits that they got from the conference, each time I remember, like, oh, yes, that did happen, and, that does bless me, all on the back. And it's the fact of someone else has that same conviction, so then I am encouraged, you know? One experience which I'm always amazed about is, I know we're a fantastic family here together, but one thing I love, you know, when you bump into another Christian, you know, a Bible-believing, saved person of God, right? And they tell you, oh, I was saved too. You know, and they tell you their story of how they came to salvation. And how encouraged I am by that. To say, you know what, so that element of, you know, seeds, brothers, that sin, that sinfulness and unbelieving hearts don't come from us. There is an element of encouraging one another that needs to be there for us to be able to continue living in God. It says, and the other word that's very particular in this particular verse, it says, today so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Let us not be dismayed. All of us here are able to be deceived. The thing about deception, which I've learned, is that deception works well or at its best when it is as close to the authentic thing as possible. When it seems authentic, right, that's when it seems as though, oh, okay, this may be right. So what am I saying here? When we are reading the Word of God, as we hear from God, We've got our brothers and sisters here in the house where we say, actually, let's take this word. What do you make of this? Because all of a sudden, that's when someone will start to expose to say, actually, that sounds a bit off. But you'll never be able to see it unless you're trying to keep it to yourself and say, you know, I can work it all out myself. No, it can't. The Word of God commands us that we are to encourage one another. And you know, I was thinking to myself, you know, I'm not a massive trainer fan. I'm not big into footwear and the likes. But I'll probably be the easiest person to sell to fake footwear. Because I wouldn't know different. Do you know what I mean? So I think with all of us in life, we all have those areas whereby, yes, maybe you're an expert in a particular area, but there is an area whereby you could do with a little bit of help from someone else and a bit of encouragement, you know? If someone needs to pick up the trainer and go, Phil, this Nike sign is backwards. And I'm like, okay. I had been deceived. You know, it looked close. It looked authentic, but it's not quite. And that's exactly what the enemy does, is that he takes something which looks like it's godly, but then it lacks the power thereof. That it's not quite there. And this is where then we need our brethren. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, let us consider how we may spare one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some have got in the habit of doing. In other words, that meeting together is what's required for us to be able to see that we continuously grow. Our conferences that we have, it is a time of meeting together and you know, iron sharpening iron, you know, and you know, I've got my victims in here who I ask, I go, what did you hear, you know? So then they're able to sharpen me and to say, you know, oh, Phil, this is what I had. I'm like, okay. You know, but sometimes when somebody's preaching, you don't get that opportunity really to be able to go, you know, come again, you know, what was that? But, you know, within our brothers and sisters in the house, you know, we can go, you know, what did you hear? You know, brother, sister, help me out. Let's talk about this thing. When the Word of God is in our conversation, I mean, if we are Christians, then surely, sometimes at least, the Word of God should be part and parcel of the discussions that we have. Amen. My third point is this, and it's my last point. Hold on firmly to your convictions about Christ and commit to living out the change. hold on firmly to the convictions about Christ. I'm just reading from Hebrews 3:14-19. And it says, we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those that Moses led out of Egypt and with whom he was angry with for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness and to whom God swore that they would never enter into the rest and who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. When we speak of unbelief, we are talking, this is now a faith matter. It's a matter about faith. And something which, I'm not sure where I heard this. So I'll say the Holy Spirit told me, or I heard it from someone. Maybe someone preached it to me when I was here in the conference. I don't know. But it's here now. but you know, I can see that there's a difference between agreeing with something or being agreeable to something, to having faith in something, right? I'll show you the difference. If there was a bridge connecting me here to this table there, I could see someone else walking across that bridge. And I could agree then to say, this bridge is strong enough to allow me to walk across it. I can agree. I'm seeing, but I'm standing here. I will stand. But then the faith, my faith can only then be demonstrated if I then say, not only do I agree, but okay, then fine, I will actually walk across this bridge. That shows faith. To say, you know what, I'm not only just standing, and this is my point is this. At times when we come to conferences and we come to places whereby the word of God is preached, a lot of the times is that we agree with it. We are saying it's not wrong. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, you're right. You know, yes, I agree that I'm in a sinful state, but yeah, I agree, you know. I agree that, you know, this is what it takes to get to heaven. I agree. I agree that these are the different works that I must do. Yes, I agree. But the faith of it is actually walking in it. The faith of it is actually, there we go. I've got one. So Bishop said something along the lines of, we are not saved by works, but we are saved for works. Right? Our faith is actually demonstrated through the works that we do that actually, okay, I've seen this bridge and you told me, you preached to me to say I can walk across the bridge, so you know what? I will walk across it. In that same way then, when we have faith, then we will believe that conviction that Christ then put in us. That conviction, say, okay, this is what the Lord is telling me to do. So I ask you this. During the conference, what did God say to you? What did God say to you that you agreed with to say, you know what, actually, yeah, that's me. Okay, yeah, okay, God, you got me. That's me. I need to change in that area. Oh, my goodness. This is something I need to now start doing. Or this now I need to stop doing. That's just this element of agreeing. The faith and the trust and the belief in it is actually acting it out, holding on to the conviction, actually seeing us being transformed by that very thing. So I ask you this. I've got a few questions for you. Do you agree that our lives will never be the same again? Or do you have faith that our lives will never be the same again? Do you believe or do you agree or do you have faith to say that this conference was a life-transforming event within our spiritual walks? If so, the evidence only comes through when we actually live out and we walk in faith in what we're actually being told by the Word of God that we're ought to do. And here's the sad part. So 3:19, it says, so we see that they were not able to enter into the promised land they're referring to, this Hebrews 3:19, because of their unbelief. So what happened with these particular Israelites was every time, every moment, they would just continuously argue with God. They would grumble. God is telling them, I've got a promised land for you. There's somewhere I want you to go, which is a land of milk and honey. Grumble. God is sustaining them in the desert with manna. They even complained that we want meat. I would have been one of them, I know. And then it rained down quail. Imagine that every day your sustenance just coming daily. Still grumbling. Still grumbling. Give us meat. You know, it's not enough that you're keeping us. Imagine waking up and not knowing you don't have to go to work anymore. You just wake up and food is just there, you know. Amen, right? When you literally see the physical manifestation of God and still just grumbling. Still grumbling. You know, and this is the sad part. You know, because of their unbelief, they didn't see the promised land. So here it is. So even though we were sitting in the very presence of God and hearing the word of God, we cannot enter our destiny if we have unbelief. When God sets a place for us as a destiny or a destination for us to go to, it is only by, if you believe, you can agree with it, but unless you have faith in it enough to walk in it, you will not meet that place of your destiny. You know, I was so encouraged actually by Bishop Masinde's Sunday preaching when he was really challenging us to say, you know, what are we doing? You know, he was really challenging us to say, you know what's going on? What are you working on? What are you progressing towards? What is God putting in you that he's saying, you know what, progress, move this forward, because you can't just continue just being the same old person yourself. You've got to continue going. But then it takes faith. It takes faith to be able to walk, take that first step, say, you know what, God, maybe I can't see the end. Maybe I can't see where the bridge finishes off, but you know what, I'm going to have faith to start stepping in it anyway. And in conclusion, I'll say this. Mr. Godfrey, if you can help me, please. So, while it is today, the verse says, while it is today, we're able to do something. I love the fact that within this passage it says today. It means that it's not something, you know, sometimes you can make an appointment with someone and go, when shall we meet? You know, in about 3 months, you know. Or, you know, but then if somebody says today, you know, it means something that we can action today. You know, we can make a difference. So he said, let me read it properly. Whilst it is today, he says. I was hoping the brothers would help me out there, but so he says today, and this is verse 15. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Today. Today is a day in which has been after the conference that we have heard the word of God. We have heard what God had to say to us. And our today is still today. Whilst it is still yet today, we can still do something. And it is only simply our own personal responsibility to make sure that we meet God's call for our lives, that we meet God's destiny for what he has given us. I know there was a lot that was said during the conference, but one thing which I really appreciated about the bishops was I saw the faithfulness of God in them. You know, when I heard that Bishop was 70 years old, you know, and he's still bouncing around preaching here, you know, that he led a church for 39 years. Faithfulness of God to say, you know what, regardless, come what may, I'm going to make it my own personal responsibility that I will stay within the conviction that the Lord has given me to fulfill his call. And today we have the opportunity to live in it and to embody how our lives will be changed. So I've just got a couple of actionable steps here. The first one's this. The media team captured the sessions that we had, be it the workshops or the preachings here. This time is amazing that we have that accessible to us. And okay, maybe if you missed the word, because it was a lot, it was coming hard and fast, eh? You know, we can still reflect and review on it to say, you know what, God, what were you saying? Let me re-listen. Let me really understand what you were saying to me. So we can still take actionable step one to say, you know what, we can re-watch, re-listen to those sessions to make sure that we are extracting what God said to us individually and making an action plan out of it. A lot of us, if you are like myself, we like to write notes. I wrote a ton of notes, but I've got a massive habit of writing notes and then never seeing them again after the day I wrote them. We can review our notes and say, you know what? What did we capture? What was it that time when we said, oh, I heard that. I wrote it down. Let's take a moment to say, you know what? Let me review. God, what did you say that I took a note of? Ultimately, is this. Ask God, what does he want you to do about it? There's the elements which you think are applicable to you, what you think you should do, but ultimately, we need to be in a prayerful posture. You know, we've got a whole year up until the next annual faith conference. You know, we can still be asking God, what are we to do? And the last one's this. It's just to check in on yourself. Check in and say, you know what, this is what I said to myself I would do. Okay. 3 months from now, 6 months from now, what did you do? You know, were you still embodying what the promises that you said to God you would keep on the back of you listening to the word that he gave to you? Lord, help us. I'll pray and then we'll close. Lord, we thank you for such a sobering conference like the one that we had, oh God. Father, just how amazing it was, oh God, Father, to hear your word. As authentic as it came, that, Lord, we all just knew that we were in your presence. We all just knew that, Lord, this was a message for this time, for us as a people. That, Lord, it didn't just change us personally. God is going to change our church. He's going to change this city. God, based on the word that we received, oh God. And Father, how I pray, Almighty God, that the word that was preached, God, Father, may it not fall on a hardened heart. Lord, may it not fall on hard ground which cannot produce fruit. But God, how I pray, Almighty God, okay, maybe the change doesn't happen today. Maybe the change happens later on. But God, may it be within us and already starting to grow within us, oh God. That, Father, we can see the journey you're taking us through, oh God. Father, on the back of the word that you preached to us individually, God, Father, although in a corporate setting, oh God. Father, how I pray that, Lord, we do not become like the Israelites in the wilderness. That though you are with us, that all we had in us, oh God, Father, was just grumbling. Not seeing, God, Father, what you are doing. Not seeing the benefit that we have in you, Lord Jesus. But Lord, how I pray that we get true perspective of who you are. That we get correct understanding, Almighty God, Father, of what you are doing and who you are in our lives individually. And most of all, oh God, Father, how I pray that, Lord, your word will see a bounty of fruit in our spiritual walks, God, Father, in our walk with you in faith. That, Lord, we will be faithful servants, God, Father, like those who you sent to preach at this conference, oh Lord. That, Lord, you will be pleased with us. That, Lord, you will see us through till we finish our race. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.